Everyone, welcome back once again to Vicious Chats. I'm Tim Vicious. Joining me today, you may have seen him probably most notably from Ric Flair's last match. He's got his own podcast. He does the super ref himself, Palm Water Dave. Dude, how are you?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. I appreciate you taking the time to come on here. You know, we've talked on and off every now and again on Twitter. But first things first, I got it since I brought it up right at the start. Ric Flair's last match, dude. I know you worked the Briscoe Von Erich match, which I absolutely love that. I'm a big tag team guy, but what was going through your head that day of like
the funny thing about the Briscoe Von Erich match is that the promoter and my good friend Conrad Thompson called me. I was at work. And he said, "Hey, Dave, we're trying to finalize the card. Do you want the Briscoes and Von Erichs, or do you want the Horsemen and the Rock and Roll Express?" And I'm like, "Well, there's a Sophie's choice." I said, "Give me the Briscoes." That's what I told him. So, I mean, that's what I had to choose from. And I didn't know about counting the three for Rick until the day of. We showed up the... Like there was every morning before StarCast, we'd have a staff meeting. And after they got through with the meeting, you know, Conrad said, "Dave, hang back. I need to talk to you." And I thought he was going to tell me my match had got bumped because the Von Erichs were having travel issues. Several of the wrestlers were. I mean, Hammerstone didn't make it because of travel woes. But the Von Erichs, and they got there. I mean, the show had already started when they showed up. We were supposed to go on third and they pushed it back. And one of them had jet lag and one of them had food poisoning. And it was 36 hours travel for them to get to us. And
you know where they were traveling from?
Hawaii.
So they were coming right from home to there. I didn't know if like maybe they were working somewhere else.
No. And they had a lot of travel issues, but they came in and man, it was a great match. And no, but being a fan of the Von Erichs, it was a thrill for me because I watched their father, I watched their uncles, I watched their grandfather. But my choice was because the Briscoes, arguably top three tag team in the world.
Of all time.
And now with unfortunately tragic passing, I'm thrilled that I got to referee a match of theirs on a big stage. Yeah. Biggest stage I've ever worked on. So anyway, I'm thinking I'm going to get canceled. And he said, "Just want to let you know tonight we're going to bump Kyoto and you're going to run out, slide in and make the three." And you could have knocked me over with a feather.
I heard because I do listen to some of Conrad's shows when I can. It's just, I got a very active 15-year-old, and I also do a lot of, I also help my parents out with a lot of stuff. So sometimes I don't get a chance to listen to what I want to.
Yeah.
But when I get the chance, and I heard him mention it, and I just, my first thought was, man, you had to probably feel like a kid in a toy store getting told that, like, "Wait, you're getting to work. I'm getting to work Rick's last match."
I was overwhelmed. I knew it wasn't an easy sell. I mean, it was just the amount that I was called overwhelmed because my friend knew how important Ric Flair was to me and is. He wanted it for me and he had planned it all along to get me in there some kind of way. All of our friends in our group chat knew. I'm the only one that didn't know. And if I'd have known, I wouldn't have slept. I mean, he knew. And so I told him, okay. And I walked over and my wife looked at me. She goes, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, I'm shaking my head, you know, because you know you're getting one of those positions that if you just say one word, you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
So, and then our friends, Mike Hoop and his wife came up and just wanted to say bye. They were leaving. And I couldn't talk and I excused myself to the restroom. And I mean, I went in the stall and I had a mini meltdown, but it was just overwhelmed that my friend loves me enough to do something that great for me. Once in a lifetime opportunity. And people would ask me, and I wouldn't say anything to anybody. Like, the only thing I told anybody was my brother. I said, hey, tonight, when y'all watch the show after my match, don't turn it off. Watch it all the way to the end. That's all I'm going to tell you.
And that's awesome, man.
And it was a, but I'd walk around and Cassio Kid looked at me, goes, you all right, buddy? I said, yeah, I'm doing good. And I mean, I knew he knew I knew, but I'm not saying anything to anybody. Nobody. I'm kayfabing everybody.
you're fooling up. You're no selling that. You're no selling that.
Well, if you say one thing to one thing and it gets out and then it hits the dirt sheets and.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm not screwing this up for nothing. And it was fun because I got to the arena and I walked through the back door, which is just a historic building. Got to go in the back. Then I walked through these doors and went out in the arena and I saw the setup and Jeff Jarrett was on the ramp and he came down to me and I'd asked Jeff one time when I met him, I'd seen a match with him and Tully Blanchard from 2005. And Les Thatcher told me that Tully was wrestling a different style that Jeff was used to and it blew him up. So I asked him about the style, but it came out, tell me what Tully did to blow you up. And it's not somebody that I'd ever really met before. So it was a really inappropriate question. It was awkward. He looks at Conrad. Conrad looks at him. But we're cool. And I'm actually friends with Jeff Jarrett now because of it. And it's our running joke. So he tells me, he said, today I need you to run. When you run in, I need you to just touch the ring. Run all the way back up and touch the backdrop. And I want you to do that about five times. Because I want you to be blown up before you slide in. And I laughed at him. I said, it's funny that you think it would take five times.
I got to meet Jeff once at a meet and greet back when he was doing back when he was trying to get Global Force off the ground. You could picture right there. It's me and my dad met him and Scott Steiner.
At a baseball stadium?
Yeah. I'm here in Erie, PA. And we got a minor league team here. It's the minor league team for the Detroit Tigers. I don't know if you ever heard of our team, the Erie Seawolves.
No.
Yeah, it's the farm team. Okay. Like Redding is for the Phillies. The Erie Seawolves are for the Detroit Tigers.
Okay. Yeah, we have the Mississippi Braves, and I saw Global Force at our park, our Trustmark Park. And we're actually losing the Mississippi Braves after this year. They're moving to Georgia, Columbia,
oh,
Georgia.
Dude, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
I found out they're owned by Endeavor.
Really?
Yes.
That is something, man.
I know. They've been here 20 years, and they're like, celebrate our 20th anniversary. And I'm like, screw y'all. Y'all are leaving.
Yeah, I mean
you just said we're getting a divorce. You're leaving us for greener pastures, and I'm supposed to come kiss you by?
Yeah, you don't send an invite to the person that you're divorcing don't send an invite to a divorce party to the person you're leaving.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get another minor league team in, and maybe get one with a cool name like the Rocket City Trash Pandas, or you know, they're coming up with some really cool names like. The Seawolves is a cool name.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to Jeff. See if maybe he can borrow the Lucky Horseshoe name. Really? I heard Conrad make a joke once saying about on how you got the nickname Palm Water Dave. How'd you get that, man?
It was just him during COVID with talking to Tony Schiavone. He said, because I got a pond. I'm real proud of my pond. We're fortunate we live on 18 acres, got a beautiful pond out back and real proud of it. And I take a lot of pictures of my pond, around my pond. And I work for Frito-Lay. That's what I do. That's my day job. And through conversations, we'll talk sales because, you know, the business model fascinates him. And he wants to know, what are your top selling SKUs? For me, it's Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So he tells Tony Schiavone, he says, you know, old Super Dave said he can't get COVID. And Tony Schiavone said, really? Why is that? And he goes, well, because he drinks pond water and eats hot Cheetos. So, at the time, it was early in ad-free shows, and we were doing a show on there called Sad News Bears. It started out as the Think Tank, because that's what we called our group chat. We've been in a group chat now for over 10 years. And Conrad bounces ideas off of us. We're basically his think tank. We named StarCast. We've named podcasts. We've pitched ideas. But we became the Sad News Bears to make it a little more entertaining. And we were starting to get some merchandise. Well, Super Dave, I can't have merchandise as Super Dave because that's somebody else's. I mean, it's my lifelong nickname that was given to me. But I couldn't use it I couldn't monetize it. So I leaned into Pond Water Dave. Also, if you lean into it, it's not so bad, but you give Conrad some resistance and he'll make it hurt.
So I get that. You know, the name Tim Vicious, that came to be because when I was younger, me and my buddies, we made a backyard wrestling federation. And I've always listened to punk rock. I've always loved it. And I was really big into Sex Pistols when we were first starting to listen to it, when we were just starting up the Fed. And the one guy we said would make the matches, he was our matchmaker. He was like, all right, Tim, you and Johnny are going to be tag team. You're going to be Tim Vicious. He'll be Johnny Rotten. You guys are the Pistols. Well, okay. And the name just kind of carried ever since. And you know, you put Vicious in front of anything, you put Vicious in anything, and it just automatically sounds cool.
That was my force.
Well, yeah. So you know, I need what cool points I have. I got a teenager, so he automatically looks at me like, ew, dad, no.
My kids just shake their head. But I did find out that my grandson saw my podcast on his YouTube homepage, and he thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, my son, he's doing his own YouTube thing now. He came up to me and his mom like, Mom, Dad, can I make YouTube videos? And we were a little resistant at first, but we're like, okay, here's our ground rules on what you can do, what you talk about, what you can and can't do. And then he went with it and he like will make a video of himself playing a video game or looking at or doing reaction videos and all kind of stuff. He was just doing one a few days ago about like with basketball stuff because he's a huge basketball junkie.
Well, the kids doing the video game stuff are getting all the views.
Yeah, and that's what I tell him. I'm like, hey, bud, listen, if you can set it up, you set it up in your bedroom, right? You could do that. I mean, I'm not going to sign you off. I'm not going to sign off letting you do a Twitch, but
yeah.
Yeah. His bedroom's nowhere built for that.
it's booming. My grandson's constantly on YouTube watching video games and Minecraft and
I had this discussion with not just my son but my parents also, because like I was saying to you earlier before we started, I do a lot of home care work with them, and the way we view stuff now is way different, which honestly, as far as with wrestling goes, I don't know about you, but I kind of look at the whole what's the ratings argument as like a giant laughing stock.
I don't think they're anything accurate.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's just too many different ways to consume it.
Exactly. I have a TV in my bedroom. Plus, there's nothing saying I can't watch the show on my TV and on my cell phone.
Right.
And if somebody also has it on a tablet or a computer, all in one room. So that's why I don't know about you, but I think that's just a giant laughing stock for an argument about like, what are the ratings?
It's just, I mean, you can actually look. There's not as, I mean, back in the day, there's 6 million people watching every Monday night.
Yeah.
But the way people consume now, it's after the fact, fast forward streaming. I mean, there's just I mean, if it's important to them to get it watched on one platform as it comes down, then they're banking on the wrong thing now. Because
yeah,
like that genie's out of the bottle and it's never going back in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah, there's no other way around that. The way we view stuff, it's changed completely. And I'm fully on that. I get that. So you started, so you're obviously a referee, like we mentioned at the beginning. Where'd you first learn? Because I know nowadays it's like almost kind of like a wrestling school is like a Starbucks. There's almost one around every corner. And I know I've heard the stories back in the day that it wasn't always easy to get in.
Well, I tried in 1984 to go. I went to Doug's gym because I knew that's where the wrestlers that the wrestled in world class with. A lot of them worked out down there, and I got ran out of there. I wish that I would have known how to pursue it. And I recently spoke with David Manning, had him on my show, and we talked, and he said, and I was telling him that, you know, that I wanted to be a referee back then. He said, I wish you could have found me. We were doing everything we could to find referees. But that was what, in 84, I wanted to. Fast forward to 2005, I went to wrestling school. I'd gone to an independent show with my brother. He worked with a guy that was wrestling as Stephen Murphy at PCW in Arlington, Texas. And when I was there watching it, I noticed there was guys my size actually wrestling. Because it was my first time going to an independent show. And I was talking to my good friend Mike Page and Joey Corman. They were independent wrestlers. And we talked one night, and they for 3 hours telling me road stories and how horrible it is traveling up and down the highways and making towns. And by the time we got through, I could not wait to get in. So Mike suggested to me that I go to PCW. He knew I wouldn't get hurt. They wouldn't take advantage of me. It was a reputable school. And I started for a few months with a wrestler named BJ Turner. He was known as the Cruiserweight Killer. He was trained by Hot Stuff Hernandez. And I trained with BJ for a while. And then when BJ left, and Lance Hoyt, the currently as Lance Archer, took over. And after months of training, we had a discussion, and he suggested to me that maybe I consider that my path in wrestling should be through being a referee. Because at the time when he started training me, he thought I was 27, 28 years old. I took a couple weeks off. And when I did, when I started training, I went and I had my hair dyed. So I didn't look like those boys' daddy, because I was already starting to gray at 40. And but the more I was into it, I didn't want to be a weekend warrior. I didn't want to be a hobbyist. I don't ever want to do anything to hurt pro wrestling. You don't know what you don't know. And the more I learned, I wouldn't have been the worst guy on the show, but I would have been, I mean, I didn't want to be that guy. I could do some stuff, but not, it was never going to be on a high level. But I came back after a couple weeks off, and I'd gone and I shaved my head. And when it was coming, you could see the gray. And Lance asked me, well, how old are you? And I told him, and he goes, I'm not telling you that you can't pursue your dream to wrestle. I'm not telling you that. But as your trainer, it's on me to tell you how you could best be utilized in this business to make money, to be a part of that, to actually go forward and make money in this business if that's what your goal is. And he suggested I be a referee. And I was for it because originally I wanted to be a referee back in the day anyway.
And I've always made the argument referees are hands down the unsung hero in the ring. Because you're going to have your good guy versus bad guy. That's the natural basis of the story. But you got the third man that nobody ever bothers to think about, who's the ref. And aside from calling who wins and loses, heaven forbid if somebody gets hurt or if you have to make an audible or if something goes on and they need to flag you down like, hey, we got to call it early or something like that.
Right.
I mean, I brought this conversation up to my son because he always asked me like, Dad, why do they have refs in there if wrestling's like it is? Well, think of it like the story Hamlet in school you read. The gravekeeper was fundamental and he was important, but he only was there for that one scene. But he was just as important as the main characters.
Well, I've loved doing it, and I mean, I get to be in the ring. I get to be in the ring more than I would be in the ring if I was a wrestler.
And you don't have to worry about taking bumps every night.
No, but I always ask, do I get to bump tonight? Because I love it. I absolutely love it.
And I know how to get that. I get that.
And I get to work with some incredible talent. A lot of it. So it's not just that one. I don't just get my 5 to 7 or 12 to 14 in the ring. I mean, some nights I'm the only referee there and I get to do it all. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Oh, that's awesome. I've been doing
it 19 years and I still love it.
Now, I'm not asking you to name drop or saying anything bad on anyone, but I know I'm speaking from personal experience. Like if I'm watching baseball or if I'm watching a sports show and from something that I played as a kid and like, oh, that was a bad play or a bad move. Was there ever any times you've watched any kind of show, any kind of wrestling on TV where you're like, why did that ref do that? Weekly. Like, I don't know if it, weekly. Yeah.
Weekly. That's the curse. I was told when I started training, you're never going to watch it again. You're never going to watch it the same way again. And over the years, I watch it through the eyes of a referee. And we don't, all of a sudden, and it's on both companies that are doing this now, where they don't count while they're on the apron.
Yeah, I've always wondered that.
Why do they not count them on the apron? AEW does it a lot. They're really bad about burying their referees. I think they have good referees, but they don't. They're not booked. I mean, last night I didn't have the audio on, and I hadn't gone back to watch it. But I was doing a watch along. I host a Zoom on Wednesday nights for ad-free shows with their top guy tier. And we were watching it, but I couldn't hear the audio. And the Young Bucks won their match. Both of them were pinning the guy, and the referee counted it. And I'm wondering, did they use I'm not ready to crap on it just yet, because maybe they were using their EVP powers to make him do it. That's their referee. Maybe he's going to become like a Danny Davis type heel referee. I don't know if there's a story involved there yet, but two wrestlers covering one wrestler in a regular match and you counted it. Why? Those are the kind of things that I just need it to make sense. And I don't understand. Is it harder to book within the confines of the rules?
Yeah. Sometimes it can be hard trying to put logic to an illogical situation. I get right.
I'm fortunate on the indies that if I'm listening to guys put a match together, I might interject now. And I'll politely say, hey, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Like they want to stay out of the ring. Well, why would you do that? Because it's a title match and you can't win the title that way. Oh yeah. Okay. So the psychology, or another thing that I like, if I'm talking to somebody and they're working the leg in the first match and I hear that the semi wanting to work the leg, I'm like, hey, they're working the leg in the first match in the opener. So they may go and change, get them to change it, or they may switch to an arm. So I'm fortunate enough to be around people that don't have an issue listening to me. And I never just interject. I ask, hey, can I make a suggestion? Can I point something out? Now I will tell them if there's somebody else is doing that spot. So we might want to,
have it make sense. Yeah. Cause you don't want somebody to go and have a knee bar 3 matches in a row, right, kind of deal.
And another thing, though, is that sometimes you're fortunate enough to work with talent that'll take time, like some of your guys that have been there and done that you did something and they'll call you off to the side and correct you and say, hey, maybe next time if this situation presents itself, we do it this way. I just had that happen on the last show that I worked. And the light came on, like, oh, he's so right. Because it was a finish where the heel had been using a chain the whole match, and I couldn't catch him with the chain. And the face finally wins, but the heel put the chain in his tights, and it was hanging out. So I was supposed to catch the chain and restart the match. But I caught it real quick instead of milking it, and that. But he took the time. He didn't get on to me. He just suggested, said that, you know, we're not on TV here. This is a good time to learn. But even after, you never stop learning in this business. You just don't. And again, I count myself to be very fortunate and blessed that I'm surrounded by people that normally have the common goal of making what we do better.
That's awesome, man. So you said also you got your own podcast and you also do work with Ad Free. You know, what's your, like, for those who don't know, what's your show about and, like, where can they obviously catch it?
Okay, it's called Talking Wrestling with Palm Water Dave. And we spell wrestling R-A-S-S-L-I-N. It's easy to find. It's on PWDpod.com, Palm Water Dave Pod, PWDpod.com. Takes you to our YouTube page. And then we drop an audio version where you can get it on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere that you steal your podcasts, you can find our podcast. Yeah. But I really suggest the video version because we put more effort into our video version. We do it live, normally every Tuesday night. Sometimes we'll pivot to Thursday, but most part Tuesdays are night. And our mission statement is to promote independent wrestling. Occasionally, like this coming week, we're going to pivot. We're going to do a WrestleMania preview. It's my birthday. We're going to have a good time. We don't know if people are going to show up, run in guests. We're going to have a great time doing we play trivia every week. Amy will bring trivia. For my birthday, she'll probably bring Texas wrestling trivia for me. But we'll just do we're going to do like prop bets on WrestleMania. We're going to have a good time. But week in and week out, we promote independent wrestling. And then there's a time or two that we'll bring in professional comedians from time to time. Just to change it up, we'll bring in wrestling legends, but we mostly feature the current independent wrestling stars. This week we had Barrett Brown on. Barrett Brown's wrestled WWE. He was recently on AEW against Wardlow. He wrestles for New Japan Strong. He was former NWA World Light Heavyweight Champion before Billy Corgan bought the company. Barrett Brown is just a tremendous talent. It's been around 14 years, works harder than anybody that I know. Would love having him on and hearing about what's going on with his life. We have recently had a promotion reach out to us and wanted to know if could we get some of their guys on. They had a big show coming up and we worked with that promotion and did that. We're fixing to do the same thing with Coastal Wrestling Federation in Florida. We're going to have three of their guys on and then the promoter. So four episodes we're going to dedicate to their promotion that's going on in Pensacola, Florida.
That's awesome.
We've done Primetime Wrestling. We've had the OVW. We've had Tri-State. We've had, I mean, just MPX, BIW. We've had Matt Palmer on. Had David Manning on. Had James Beard. We've had Tim Storm. Cassidy Riley. But coming up soon, we're going to have Caleb Conley. That's Caleb with a K. But the main thing is we want everybody to understand that if you have independent promotion, support independent wrestling. They're the stars of yesterday. They're the stars of tomorrow. You can see them. Like I tell everybody, if you see an independent show with a wrestler right now, her name is Promise Braxton. She's got star written all over. You're not going to see her on the indies much longer. Catch her while you can. And it's that way. I work with a wrestler named Ray Fury. I've been working with Ray Fury since he started. And Ray Fury's doing some work with NWA now. He's been on AEW without his mask. He's been, you know, he's making towns. He's traveled out of the country. that's a guy that's a guy that's going places. You just don't know that it's not so much the minor leagues. It's stars that are just as good as what you see on television that just haven't been seen by the right set of eyes yet.
Yeah,
their spot hadn't been carved out for them yet.
Going back in full circle, it's like you said, you're giving back to it. You're giving back to the business that you so dearly love, because you're giving people that may not have a chance to get recognized a chance to be seen. Because I'm not gonna lie, I want to check the star you were saying at. You were saying, what was her name again?
Promise Braxton.
Promise Braxton.
Yes. I think she recently did a stint in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah,
She came out of Booker T's school.
Yeah.
She's been on AEW. She wrestled Athena on Ring of Honor.
She's got your seal of approval. If somebody's got your seal of approval, I'm going to take your word on it that they're a good talent, because, you know, you get to work firsthand with these guys. You know, I'm just a fan. I don't get a chance that I've never gone over and done anything in the ring aside from the backyard stuff as a kid.
Right. And I'm not saying that I can scout talent, but I'm real careful sometimes not to get too excited about one talent that comes through, because I don't want to make the people that I'm with all the time feel like, well, that he must think I'm less than. No, I don't. But when you see somebody that's got it, it's just different. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not talking about, it's just, she just hit me to be like, wow. And it's just, I'm really high on her, and I've only worked with her once. She impressed me so much. And the ladies wrestling on the independent circuit has come so far.
Yes.
So far. Cassandra Golden is our champion in BIW, and I've worked with Cassandra for several years now, and man, she is doing her best work right now.
Yeah, my brother's daughter, she's about 7 or 8. And anytime she ever comes over, she was like, hey, Uncle Tim, what are you watching? And if I'm not putting, and if it's not a show that I know she can watch, I'll be like, oh, here, I'll put this on. And she's seen a handful of like some of the WWE women stuff. And she's like, whoa, those girls can do that? Oh, yeah. You could do that too if you wanted. You get bigger. And she just gets this big bug-eyed look like, oh, I can? And, you know, it's a hell of an improvement compared to where it was like 20 bordering 30-something years ago when it was rock panties and having girls bark like dogs on TV.
Oh, well, I remember when it used to, you see it on the poster that – it would say the midgets and women.
Yeah, I would. My grandmom would tell me about, like, my grandmom, she would tell me, you know, that those lady wrestlers, they were nothing more but attractions when I was younger. And she would tell me that.
Yeah, midgets, women, and the wrestling bear.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you brought up the bear, I got to ask, because I was listening to Bruce the other day, is it a working bear or a shoot bear? I had to do that.
It looked like a shoot bear to me. It looked like a shoot bear to me, because I actually got to see the wrestling bear one time. And I want to say it was against Captain Frank Dusick. It was more of the attraction seeing the bear. I mean, he had a muzzle on, but still, it might have been Captain Frank Dusick. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But I grew up going to World Class, so we saw some of everything.
I originally grew up in Philadelphia, South Philly, and the ECW arena was just a couple blocks from my house. So much like you are with World Class, I'm a lot like that with ECW. That was like my gate. I don't want to say that was my gateway, but that's what made me fall in love with wrestling.
I we got it on a U. I got it late one night on a UWF channel. Not UWF. You know what I'm talking about.
The public access channels.
Yeah, I mean, like, I got it late one night, and I'd never seen anything like it. And so I bought one of their pay-per-views, and the Dudley Boys just cussing the crowd out. And
oh yeah, but, I know what you're talking about.
But Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn, just amazed me. To this day, if I talk about the top matches I've seen in my life, I never leave out Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn.
No, those two had such amazing chemistry. There was no way ever around that.
Right.
Yeah. So what's some of the stuff that you do with Ad Free? I know we got a chance to talk about what your regular podcast. What's the work that you do with Ad Free?
I pretty much do watch parties and watch longs. I host Top Guy Wednesday, or most nights it's Top Guy Wednesday. We do it while AEW is on. I've done Q&As where I've been in with Eric Bischoff. I've done if they have a special guest in it's going to be a Zoom meeting where somebody just basically teeing up the callers. I've done those with Eric. I've done one with Conrad. I did the After Mag chats with Bill After for a year. That which was fun. We went back and talked about the magazines and then we talked about current stuff. And Bill After is just great. I love that man so much.
I was going to ask, how is Bill?
Bill's doing good. He's working with Sports Keita. He broadcasts late at night. Like, I can't stay up as late as Bill does.
It's the vampire hours, right?
But he's working. He's constantly puts out a newsletter, but he's tied in with Sports Keita.
That's good.
And then pay-per-views and stuff, we do watch-alongs. I do a lot of those kind of hosting duties. I'll do anything they want me to.
All right. So since we're gearing up towards WrestleMania, I got to ask you, how you feeling walking into it? Like, do you think from my perspective, maybe I'm a little biased because I'm a Philly guy. I think they're doing a really good job hyping up not just the show, but the fact that it's going to be in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it. Coming into Monday night, I would have told you that Seth turns on Cody night one. The cards are the deck stacked against Cody night two, and then The Rock turns against the Bloodline. I don't know that I believe that anymore. I think Cody's going to be outgunned on night one. Maybe Seth gets hurt. Maybe Seth defends the title before he has the tag match. Maybe Cody has to go it alone. Or, you know, maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin or John Cena steps in to help him.
Yeah, because
they had the truck lit up.
I was just going to say that they had those production trucks, and they've had nothing but Mania trucks since like the beginning of March.
Right.
And it's like nothing. They don't put nothing on TV without a reason.
But so it's so hard to call. And that's what I love about it. That it's,
yeah.
I haven't been this excited about the WWE programming in years, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
they're playing chess, and wrestling fans are playing checkers right now, because I think everything that's always worked in the past, I don't think that they're playing on that level, and I think they got a whole bowl of new stuff that they're going to put on us. But I really like this. I really like what they're doing with The Rock. I think he's a modern-day version of Mr. McMahon. I think that the heel authority figure has overdone. But with The Rock doing it now in this new environment, I think it can be something. And I hope that it continues. I don't want to see him turn on the Bloodline.
Yeah, and with the whole – and instead of just saying, oh, yeah, I'm in charge, I'm the – you know, he actually name-dropping chairman of – on the board of TKO. Right. And everyone knows he is, and also everyone knows he's good buddies with the boss of Endeavor as well. So, you know, it's not just like, hey, I'm in charge of TKO, but I'm good buddies with my boss, and he's not going to look down on me.
No.
Kind of bit. And that makes it just even more better. Like, whoa.
It's the best, absolute best time to be a wrestling fan. And
yes.
And I'll show some love to AEW too, because Will
Ospreay. They're putting out some.
Man, Will Ospreay. And I love Okada. Okada's managed to babyface the Bucks to me.
Yeah. Now it's kind of funny because when like the Global Force, my dad, he was asking me about some of the stuff that I was watching, because at that time I was also looking up New Japan stuff, and he was like, what do you got on? I'm like, watching some New Japan, watching Japanese wrestling. And I showed him Okada, and he was just like, and my dad's not normally one to get shocked, but his jaw hit the floor when he saw him do that standing drop kick. Like, he got that much air off a dead jump? Yeah. That guy's got major talent.
My wife's best friend came down, and her son was with him, and we were watching. I had Okada and Omega on, and he's not used to seeing. He didn't know that wrestling matches went that long, and he was into it the whole time. And but then I'm really high on Takeshita.
Yeah,
I think Takeshita. I told him last night on our Zoom meeting. I said he is a Muta level athlete. He's a Muta level talent. And they said, well, they call him the next coming of Okada in Japan. And I'm like, I see it. I mean, he's got star written all over him. And I love Swerve Strickland. And they didn't make Swerve Strickland. That happened organically.
Yeah. Now, do you ever see any Swerve stuff when he was in Lucha Underground or working the indies?
I did not.
Whenever you get the chance, Lucha Underground used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it still is now, but he was the character Killshot in Lucha Underground.
Okay.
And if it is, check it out. But if it's not, sure, you can find it somewhere, but
sure.
He had a bloody, and I mean bloody, fight with AR Fox one night on there.
Mm.
So that if you're a fan of violent looking wrestling, that would be a good match to watch.
If I like wrestling that I can't tell. I want to be completely sucked in and suspend my disbelief. And I'm going to tell you, that match last night with Shibata, I didn't really care for it with Ospreay. I think that's the worst match that Ospreay's had so far. I just wasn't into the Shibata match. I don't know why. But his match with Takeshita, I'm not normally a fan of that style of wrestling, but I was 100% into it. There was no picking it apart. I completely enjoyed it. I was completely engulfed in it. And Will Ospreay got on my radar at the G1 in Dallas when he wrestled Lance Archer. And I thought that was an absolutely incredible match. I wish they would use Lance Archer more in AEW instead of these 2-week bursts. He should be. I mean, why Tony Khan hadn't got Harry Smith in there and put them back together as a team?
It's
beyond me. Lance is just so, and he's just so good.
For a guy his size, he is super athletic.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy his size and build.
You go back and find a match with him and Abyss from TNA.
Yeah.
It was a television match. It was still the six-sided ring. And the way that Lance was flying around that ring, and I tell him all the time, it's one of my favorite matches I've ever seen him in. It resonates with me after all these years. And he didn't even win the match, but it was like one of his best performances because he got to do all the stuff that he can do.
Yeah, you got to show that you're not just a big guy that, you know, can move around like one of those old LJN figures that are stuck still.
Right.
You know, and I think that's kind of like a stereotype a lot of big men get. But nowadays on how wrestling's evolved, it's really great to see that, you know, you can see these different kind of styles. You could see a guy that's like 5'10", go and play a power game and see a guy that's like 6'8" be super athletic and move around almost like a cruiserweight.
Yes.
You know, that's, you know, like you said, this is one of the best times for wrestling in my lifetime, at least. I'm going to be 39 on the 3rd. It's the best time in my lifetime, anyway, in my opinion, to be a wrestling fan. This is the best it's ever been.
I didn't know that I was ever going to get this excited about anything outside of the indies again.
And, yeah.
And I'm in. Like, and it was funny because I thought I was booked for an independent show on that one of WrestleMania, and I had the date messed up, and I'm not. So,
you get to sit at home and have a snack or two and watch the show.
I'm going to host a watch party on ad-free shows.
You're right. That's my bet. That's my bet.
But that's my bet. I'll watch it with my wrestling friends.
So you see, there you go.
Watching it with we can enjoy it.
Yeah, and my son, he's kind of in and out vicariously as a fan. When he's over at my house, he's like, yeah, I'm not really too much into wrestling, but I like watching WrestleMania with you. So I'll watch it. All right, cool.
Well,
and he catches the stories on and off. Like, and sorry, I interrupted. God.
No, you're good. I was just going to bring it around about wrestling friends. As you see behind me, I have some wrestling belts. I've been a belt collector since 1999. I met a lot of my friends in the old Yahoo belt groups. Then it became a bullet. Then we went to the Belt Marks bulletin board, then the Belt Talk bulletin board. Now it's all social media. Facebook has all the groups. I mean, so many groups. But that's how my group chat came together. Our common with Conrad and Dave Hancock and Jeff Jewett and we got some Dave Silva. But our common bond, our common bond was wrestling belts. And we started our group chat just to coordinate meeting up at NWA Legends in Charlotte, North Carolina, because we were all going to hang out. Our wrestling friends were going to go hang out. And we all get together several times a year now. And it's still our common bond. And that's what the idea behind ad-free shows, to create that sense of community. And now we have wrestling friends. And Conrad wanted to give people what we have. And now there's groups of friends that have met through that. And I have friends. My co-hosts, Amy Vaughn and Justin Davis on my show. I met them through ad-free shows. We're starting our own Patreon. We're launching in April. It's going to be free. We're working with it to try to make it free for the month of April. We're going to make an announcement any day now. But it's not going to replace our podcasts. We're still going to keep doing our podcasts. They're going to be free. That's fine. We're just talking about doing something that's going to be like bonus content. Like my show is going to be, I was nicknamed the Belt Pope like over 20 years ago. And it kind of stuck and it was always a joke and everything. But I decided that I'm going to feature a wrestling belt and I'm going to do like an episode with a belt. And we're going to call it an audience with the Belt Pope. We're going to do like a wrestling scorecard. This just in wrestling news. We're going to do watch alongs. We're going to do, but we're in there with another podcast called the TNA Top 10. It's basically football and sports, and they'll do a top 10 list. This week it was sitcoms. And actually they did sitcoms 2 weeks in a row because the second week were sitcoms that the guy forgot to put on the poll in the poll. But I met Terry and Andrew through ad-free shows. And then the other podcast is the Filter Free Popcast. Timmy C, Dollar Bill Dave, and TJ Stevenson, they do one. And they'll pick a year. And they'll do what was in entertainment, what was in sports, what was in music. They'll go what was on television. They'll do the whole year. And then they'll finish with a wrestling event from that year. That's why they call it a popcast for pop culture. We're combining and we're creating what we call the RAM network, wrestling and more. So it's the RAM network. And you can find that at the ramnetwork.com will take you to the Patreon page. we're really excited about that. It's going to be fun because we're just going to try to over deliver on content, things that
that's awesome,
we enjoy doing. But those are my wrestling friends, and now I guess you could say they're my business partners. But we'll interchange each other to do certain things. Have got Justin Yent will be with us. My wife produces my podcast. There's one of our other wrestling friends, Allison Faye, helping produce some of the other ones. We just have a really good time with it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Hey, message me once you get a second. I'll make sure to include all the links on there.
Okay, thank you.
No problem, man. I want to, I'm doing this because I want to give a chance for people to have a chance to, that may not get it, that may not know who you are, get a chance to know who these people I'm bringing on here are, and let them get a chance to see what they can do, what they do. So with that, Dave, I want to thank you for taking the time to come out here again. I really do appreciate it, man. I'm always thankful for any time somebody wants to come on here.
Anytime. I love doing it. Thank you, Tim.
No problem, man. Any socials or anything you want to give a quick plug on before we hop off here?
You're more than welcome. Find me on X at Ref Super Dave PWD. I leaned back into Super Dave because at Ric Flair's last match when I ran out, Tony Schiavone goes, "It's Super Dave." I couldn't change my name back to Super Dave quick enough.
Yeah. So now you just got to get a shirt with like the Superman, almost kind of looking almost like the Superman S, but with a referee striped cape.
That'd be cool. That'd be kind of fun. That my favorite announced team of all time is Tony Schiavone and David Crockett.
I thought they were great. They knocked it out.
For David Crockett and Tony Schiavone to get to call my moment. And Tony told me at ringside, he goes, "I can't wait for you to listen to it back." He goes, "I gave you the Sting treatment."
So you see, next time if you ever come back on here, I got to give you the Tony Schiavone. I got to do a Tony Schiavone job. It's Super Ref Dave!
There you go. We'll do it.
All right. Dave, thanks for coming on, man. I do appreciate it. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you so much.